Thanks for your company today on Women of Hope. You're with Penny Mulvey. Did you know that Women of Hope is entirely dependent on donations? Check out our website, www.twraustralia.org. Today we are hearing the amazing story of healing and forgiveness from Joan Kirsten as she recalls her journey from Poland as a Holocaust survivor to Australia, living with people who claimed to be her parents and yet showed her no love, through depression, marriage difficulties, and a new life as a Jewish Christian. Joan, at what point did you discover you were adopted?
I actually didn't find that out until my youngest son was 2.5 years old. And I wrote down a long list of my heart's desires, and I handed that list over to God. And one of the things on that list was I often had suspicions that they weren't my real parents. Not just because I wasn't loved and I wasn't treated like my brother was, but I didn't look like any of them. You see, they were all tall and blonde. Not all Jews are short, dark and wide like I am. And I really did feel like the black sheep of the family, and I never fitted in. And there were many, many other things that happened in my childhood that led me to have suspicions that they were not my real parents. And often during the beatings, I would scream out at them and say, "You got the wrong child out of the orphanage," not knowing that I was telling the truth. So that was on my list of my heart's desires. I had said, "Lord, if these are my real parents, then help me to deal with the hatred that I have for them and help me to forgive them for the things that they've done to me. But if they aren't my real parents, and if it's in your will, could I know who my real parents were?" 3 years after that prayer, I received a registered package and I had to sign for it. And when the postman left, I slit it open, and out onto the floor fell a very tattered leather folder. I looked at this folder and it had 3 photos in it. And the first one was one of me as a baby, which I had actually seen at my adopted parents' place. So I knew that was me, because there was one aunt, 2 aunts who got out of Poland before the war, and they had family photos. So after the war, they gave my aunt and uncle whatever photos they had of the family. And then I looked at the second photo and it looked so much like me, but the hairstyle was wrong and I knew I didn't have a dress like that. And I looked at it and all of a sudden the light just went on and I knew that was my mother. And I ran around the house screaming and I said, "This is my mother, this is my mother." My husband's very cool and calm and stable, all the opposites to me. And he sat me down and together we read a 10 foolscap page letter from my real father telling me the story of my childhood, which is why I can share it today, and giving his experiences. And at the bottom of the letter, it had these words which really hit me hard. And it was, "If you have it in your heart to forgive me for having given you away, I would love to hear from you." And you can imagine. It was, I didn't know what to do, and my husband took over. Through information, my husband got the phone number and we placed a call. And I talked to my real father for a long time. And it was just incredible. We just were able to talk and we found we had similar interests and similar tastes. And so that's how I actually found out about my real father.
And obviously you've met him.
Yes, that came later. First of all, I had to break the news to my adopted parents that I knew, because my real father wanted us to come to Canada where he was to meet him. He was a structural engineer and had his own business. And he had enough money for all our fares and he wanted to pay for us to come to Canada to meet him. And later on, he was able to come here. He actually came to Australia twice. Now, the first time he came, I set up a meeting for him with my adopted parents, and my adopted mother would not go. So he had a meal with my adopted father and they made peace, and there was never any more problems between them. My adopted father understood that my real father had not given them away, and no matter how much he tried to tell my adopted mother that, she wouldn't accept it, and so she would have nothing to do with him. On his second trip to Australia, she did meet with him. He went to their home for a meal with me, and she tolerated him, but she would not shake hands with him and she would not make peace.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey, and my guest is Holocaust triumpher Joan Kirsten. Joan, let's go back again to the time that you're in the black hole. You thought your husband was going to leave you. How did you then start to work through issues of forgiveness and of pulling through the depression and things that allowed you to put your life back in order?
Right. Well, as far as the depression was concerned, that gradually lifted. It took over 12 months. As far as my marriage was concerned, I had had no pattern. Remember, I lived with war-damaged people, and they seemed to yell at each other all the time, and whoever yelled loudest got their way. So, of course, when I didn't get my way, I just yelled and screamed. Now, my poor husband came from a very quiet home and probably wondered what he'd struck with this woman screaming and yelling at him. But I began to see that I was also part of the problem, and I was getting into the Word of God, and it was through studying the Word of God and seeing what God's plan for a marriage and a family was that I gradually began to change. And Roger said that as I began to change, I began to soften, and then he re-fell in love with me. Now, I had to forgive him for a lot of things, and as I said before, I didn't want to, I didn't feel like it, and I had all these other things. My journey with forgiveness began one day, would you believe, in church, as we were saying the Lord's Prayer. And suddenly it was like a ton of bricks hit me as I read the passage, "Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And it suddenly hit me that God was expecting us to forgive, because it said, "as we forgive." And I just went to God and said, "That's not possible, God. How can I forgive the Nazis for having killed my mother and for having ruined my whole life and for having taken away my whole childhood? And then, you know, forgiving my father for having given me away and for all the things, you know, I could go on and on and on. We all have daily things every day that we need to forgive people for." And society was telling me, and the psychiatrist I was under certainly told me, that I was the victim and I didn't have to forgive. And so what I was being told in the world and what the Word of God was showing me were total opposites. So I really cried out to God for help, because I knew I couldn't do this. On my own, there was no way I could forgive any of these people. And then, to make things worse, the Lord took me to the story that Jesus told, where one servant was forgiven a huge amount and he went and grabbed another servant that owed him a small amount. And at the end of that passage, I read these words: "That servant was handed over to the jailers and put into the torture chambers. And it said, likewise will your heavenly Father deal with you if you do not forgive another's trespasses." And that's where I was living. I was living in those torture chambers. I was aggressive. I was in pain every day. I was a tortured person. And so I took that to the Lord and said, "Lord, that's where I'm living. And that's where I am, in those torture chambers. But you say that if I forgive, I can come out. And I want to come out, but I don't know how." And so I handed it all over to God, and it was literally a moment by moment handing it over to God over every situation. Every morning I got up and said, "Lord, would you help me to be quick to forgive today?" And even if I didn't feel like it, I did it out of obedience. I would just say, "Lord, I can't. I don't feel like forgiving this person, but your word says that I have no choice. If I want to be forgiven, I need to forgive." And the amazing thing was that as I did it in obedience, not because I felt like it, gradually I found that God gave me the feelings. And then one day I suddenly found, oh, there is some feeling there. And gradually that love returned.
Joan, thank you. I've just been blown away by your story. And I'd love to ask all those other little stories you keep referring to, but maybe another time.
Okay, if you'd like me back.
Joan Kirsten has been my guest. I'd love to know how her story affected you. Did some of her experiences remind you of your own? Did her journey towards forgiveness and new life with her husband challenge or excite you? Did the unexpected letter from her father move you to tears? Give us a call on 02 9740 6355. That's 02 9740 6355. Or send me an email to Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au and tell me what you think. My name is Penny Mulvey and I look forward to your company again next week here on Women of Hope.